Welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco, the show that brings you inspiring stories from our vibrant creative and cultural scene. I'm Fiona Bond, and in every episode, we meet the artists, visionaries, and culture makers helping Waco flourish as a creative hub, and invite you to be part of that journey. Today's episode brings together a remarkable mix of creativity, connection, and community, from the world of visual art to the buzz of live theatre. In the first half of the show, we're heading to Falcon and Owl, a downtown Waco treasure where antiques, fine art, and imagination collide. I'll be speaking with owner Jill Barrett and Cuban-American artist Rolando Diaz about their shared vision, the power of creative spaces, and an exciting new exhibition. Then in the second half, we'll shift from gallery walls to the glow of stage lights at Brazos Theatre. I'll be joined by Beth Richards, founder of Brazos Theatre and fellow KWBU voice, along with Rachel Velasco, who's just written a brand new comedy melodrama that debuts there this August. We'll talk about the thrill and unpredictability of live theatre, the joy of creating new work, and how the local stage builds lasting connections. My first guest today is someone who has created one of the most delightfully surprising and creative spaces in downtown Waco. Jill Barrett is the founder of Falcon and Owl, a beautifully curated emporium of curiosities, where you'll find everything from antique furniture and vintage jewelry to fine art and handmade hats. A self-described gatherer of beautiful things, Jill is a creative entrepreneur with a passion for design, history, and meaningful connection. Joining her is Rolando Diaz, an internationally celebrated Cuban-American artist whose expressive, spiritually inspired work has been exhibited across the US and abroad. Rolando's journey is as compelling as his canvases. Born in Cuba, he fled with his family at the age of 8 and eventually made his mark as a painter and humanitarian, using his art to raise funds for important causes and sharing stages with figures like Amy Grant, BJ Thomas, and First Lady Barbara Bush. His life and work were featured in the acclaimed PBS documentary Recapturing Cuba, An Artist's Journey, which followed him back to Havana after decades away, reconnecting him with his childhood home and the island's vibrant art scene. The film earned 2 Gold Awards at Sundance and aired internationally. Rolando's newest exhibition opens at Falcon and Owl this summer, and we're thrilled to have both him and Jill with us today. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Jill, what inspired the creation of Falcon and Owl? You were known for establishing Common Grounds, the coffee shop, and while you were still a student, I think.
Yes.
How does creativity play into your business? Because all of the spaces you've created are incredibly creative.
Oh, thank you, Fiona. I love creating atmosphere, and I create atmosphere out of art and antiques and beautiful things, as you described earlier so eloquently. And I believe that atmosphere in a place can really do something to someone. You kind of have an emotional reaction to it. And so when I create these atmospheres, and it just kind of comes from a place in me that's always been very affected by my atmosphere, my environment.
You're like a set designer.
Kind of. Yeah. I'm like a set designer for my own life, and that is what I do. And then somehow other people enjoy it, and that makes me really happy. But I just enjoy doing that, and that just comes from a very natural place in me. And so Falcon and Owl was born out of just my desire to do that. And when I had Common Grounds, the coffee house, I decorated it all the time. And my husband always jokes and says, I think you owned a coffee house so you could just have something to redecorate all the time. And I was like, might be a point
to that.
That's
real, yes.
Yeah. And I would go to Round Top and I would gather all this fun stuff to create this atmosphere. And so I always had a love of antiques. And I kind of learned this from my parents, who did the same thing in our houses when I was growing up. And so once I decided to move on from Common Grounds, always in my heart and soul, but I needed to do something else, I decided I wanted to go into that business as a business more. So the business of decor, art, antiques, and the things that I would bring into my love of creating atmosphere and environment somewhere and telling a story. So that's part of the thing, too, for me. It's the reason I love antiques so much is because they're storied treasures.
Oh, absolutely.
They've been somewhere. They've been with different people. And I enjoy that aspect of antiquing and treasure hunting, basically. And so it was just a natural fit for me to try to go ahead and sell that, because I can sell what I love.
I love that you describe the places, the spaces that you create as visual storytelling, because I think I've witnessed you doing that and inviting people in. You're very invitational with those spaces. And that's a great segue to talking to Rolando. You've had such a remarkable journey from Cuba to Dallas and far beyond. Can you tell us a bit about your story and what drives your work as an artist?
Fiona, it's so great to be here. Thank you. So I've always said that art is the expression of life in my tagline, you know, as an artist. And so normally my inspirations come from my daily life, you know. I have been able to travel the world. I've been able to see a lot and experience a lot. So inspiration just comes from everyday experiences that I have, either with people or places and things like that. And so that gives me the motivation I need to go to the canvas and then create something unique.
I love that. And you just came back from Cuba, I believe.
I did. I got to go back and do two murals there in a famous street that honors, strangely enough, barbers. And what's so cool about this is that they put a giant sculpture at the start of this street is a giant pair of scissors. And thousands of scissors were sent in from all over the world by barbers. And so all of the barbers' names are on this monument, which I just find fascinating.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, very artistic. Yeah.
I love that. I want to have my hair cut there now.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and that mural is stunning.
You're so sweet.
It is.
Thank you.
I wish we had a little, I wish it was here. Maybe you could
it's
come
radio,
to Waco.
You know, people can look at it online, hopefully.
Yeah. It is so beautiful. I need to really study it, like every inch, but just the visual impact that it has is incredible.
Yeah. Thank
and
you,
it was so important. I don't want to speak for you, Rolando, but I know that Havana holds such a special, dear place in your heart. That was your birthplace. And what you did there with your talent was really a gift to that community.
Thank you so much. I always feel, yeah, I have a soft spot for the Cubans there in Cuba. Yeah.
Well, so how did your collaboration and this exhibition in Waco come about?
Well, I'll speak to that first, and then you can add to it, Rolando. So we have a mutual friend. Her name's Lisa Doolittle. And lucky for us, she has just moved to Waco to shower us with her lovely presence and her gifts and talents as well. And she introduced me to Rolando. But this is a funny story. Little did I know, I already kind of knew him because my mother, who really is, I would say, the main reason I love art so much. We had art, beautiful art and important art in our homes before we had a place to sit. So that was like a very big priority for my parents. But my mom has a piece of Rolando's artwork, and it is my favorite piece of art that she has, and she has a lot. And when I first met him and went to his studio in Dallas with Lisa, I thought, you know, something about this just feels familiar to me. And so I went home, I went to my mom's house, and I said, Mom, I just went and met this man, Rolando Diaz, and he has the most beautiful art, and it just felt so familiar to me. Do you know him, or have you ever heard of him? And she said, Jill, that's that piece that you love in my house. And I was like, oh my gosh, it is. No way. So I called Rolando and I said, my mother owns a piece of your art. It's my favorite artwork of hers.
Grew up with it.
Yeah. And he ran over and met Lisa and I for lunch real quick just to give us a hug, because that was just a really fun connection. And he remembered my mom very well.
I love that.
A very sweet, classy lady. And amazingly enough, with a big heart, helped a young guy that I brought to her. To teach him how to be able to get into college. Very sweet lady.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Another story.
Exactly. I love that. Well, Rolando, tell us a little bit about the exhibition that is here in Waco.
I'll be honest with you. This exhibition will be unique because I have never released as many works to a gallery as I have to this gallery.
Wow.
And so it covers all sorts of different series, because I work in series. And so you're going to see a variety of work, some of them dating way back, some recent. And that way kind of gives you an overall idea of what, you know, me as an artist do. I'm an abstract expressionist, you know, in style. And then the space that they have is fantastic. It's just an incredible, large, gorgeous space.
What is art to you? How does it change us as humans? And what will people get of that when they come and see your work in Waco?
Art to me is a fascinating thing, whether it happens to be fine art like me or music or theater or whatever. The arts are about the inner man, the inner person. So the beauty about the arts to me is that it connects with the inner part of a person, releasing things that sometimes cannot be expressed by words. So we use a different form or a different medium to communicate to an audience. And to me, truly, art is everything. Because a world without art would be very boring. And, you know, so it's just very deep. Art is a deep thing that we get to enjoy from different artists.
And as an abstract expressionist, I think you really pick that up when you see your work. I think that's its emotion and its connectivity that really comes across.
So this is what's so cool. Sometimes, you know, artists go in different directions. So you'll be able to see different series and you'll say, well, wow, that's kind of different from the other. You still will be able to tell us my work through the color palette and the style, but you will see a variety of work that I think would fit for anyone. We have some things that are more on the edge. I have some things that are more conservative, depending on where I was, you know, mood-wise, during those periods of time when I was creating the work.
That is fantastic. And Thank you. We really look forward to inviting Waco's population to engage with you and your work. I know you're going to be in Waco from time to time during that, and people can find that out on the Falcon and Owl website. I certainly recommend that people get a chance to see it.
Thank you.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. And a huge thank you to Jill Barrett and Rolando Diaz for sharing the story behind their creative collaboration at Falcon and Owl. Rolando's exhibition is on display now until September, and you can experience it for yourself by visiting their beautiful space in downtown Waco. Coming up next, we turn things over to David Smith for his weekly segment, David and Art.
With intrigue, curiosity, and a few good resources, anyone can learn about art and art history. With plenty of encouragement and a number of valuable recommendations, here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
When people find out I'm a historian, one of the things I'm often asked is, could I recommend a book about this or that topic? Because of this show, I'm often asked if I can recommend books to people who are interested in learning more about art and the art world. I love questions like this because I'm a perfect example of how easily you can educate yourself about things. All it takes is curiosity and the desire to do it. If you're interested in the visual arts in general, one really good place to start is with a broad overview. My favorite is Robert Hughes's 1997 book, American Visions: The Epic History of Art in America. It's not written as a scholarly text, but for general readers who want to know. It's very well illustrated, and Hughes is opinionated and insightful, often even amusing. His book provides a good chronology of the artists and the movements that come and go through the ages. You can read it cover to cover, or you can just pick it up and read any section at random. If it's modernism in particular you want to understand, start with Peter Gay's fine 2008 book, Modernism, The Lure of Heresy. That's probably one of my favorite books all time. As a historian who's written a couple of biographies, I'm particularly fond of artists' biographies as a way of understanding what even the most inscrutable of them was up to. Deborah Solomon's book on Norman Rockwell's life and Christopher Simon Sykes's two-volume biography of David Hockney are both great books, and they open windows into an artist's mind at work. Another way of understanding art and learning how to talk about it is by reading essays and reviews by good critics. Clement Greenberg, Hilton Kramer, and Peter Sheldahl are my three favorite critics, and I consider their work as indispensable. They're all skilled writers and bold thinkers whose opinions are clear and understandable. One of the best things about reading good critics is that it will help you understand and explain your own opinions. I've observed many times that no one accuses baseball or football of being elitist when their more complicated rules and traditions come into play. People just learn a little bit about them and suddenly they're talking like experts, fighting on cable shows and being jackasses. Art is no more elitist than those sports, despite the impression that lots of people apparently have. Anyone who's curious can just start reading, and once you do, visits to a museum will suddenly make a lot more sense.
You can find this and previous episodes of David and Art under the Programs tab at kwbu.org.
That was David and Art, which you can hear every Monday during Morning Edition and All Things Considered right here on KWBU. Now we're turning to the joyfully unpredictable world of live theatre with two guests who will already be familiar to you as they are part of the KWBU family. Beth Richards is a longtime broadcaster and theatre producer who began her radio career at the age of 19 and joined KWBU's public radio team in 2021. She's also the founder and director of Brazos Theatre, a Waco institution she launched in 2013 that blends improv, dinner theatre, drag and comedy into a uniquely intimate and high-energy performance space in Woodway. When she's not running the theatre, she's hosting Broadway on the Brazos, Sunday nights on this very station. Beth also happens to be a proud wife, mom, and grandmother, and someone who brings endless heart to Waco's creative community. Joining her is Rachel Velasco, KWBU's Community Engagement Coordinator and a beloved presence in many corners of Waco life, from her work as manager of the Waco Downtown Farmers Market to her wellness initiatives with Soul Salve Yoga. Rachel is also a former educator, small business owner, and now playwright. Her brand new comedy melodrama titled Along Came Joan or Savin' Sweet Stew's Bacon makes its debut at Brazos Theatre this August. Beth and Rachel, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you for having us. It's really fun to be on this side of the table.
I mean, you got me teared up a little bit there, Fiona. That was like such a lovely introduction.
Well, normally you're introducing me, so it's very fun to do this the other way around. Well, Beth, tell us some of the challenges and the triumphs of keeping a small local theater thriving in Waco.
Well, I wish this were an hour show because...
That's a long answer.
It is definitely a long answer. Of course, starting a new theater company is always a challenge, but the community of the Greater Waco area just welcomed us with open arms. We set out to do something kind of completely different, just to be a place where there's something fun happening and lighthearted. We have lots of great theater companies that do huge, big productions and the serious dramas. And so we didn't.
We now have nine.
We have. Yeah. There's nine. Yes, there's nine. When you, especially when you count the universities, and there are enough people in this town to pack every theater every weekend. It's just getting the word out, and that's definitely the biggest challenge that any theater company is going to have, is getting the word out about what they do. What do you do besides social media and newsletters? You have to work to get creative, mm-hmm. and sometimes you're so busy cleaning the toilets and stocking the concession stand and sweeping the floors and creating the playbills for the next show, sometimes that brain power is lacking.
And the artistic inspiration gets kind of lost in the mix.
It does a sometimes. Little bit. Yes. It does a little bit. And that's the biggest challenge in running a theater company when you're a creative. Mm-hmm. It's because the creative part just wants to go pop, 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 pop. But you have to think, oh, I've got to enter my receipts into QuickBooks today. I need to make sure.
That's so glamorous.
doesn't it? I need to pay my insurance. My insurance is due, which was my story this week, actually.
Sounds very real. Yeah.
It does. And when you're a solopreneur, those kinds of things definitely make it challenging. But when you get it all done, there's no feeling that's more rewarding.
Absolutely. And you've managed to create a really intimate, fun space and a very loyal following with Brazos Theatre. Well, which brings me to Rachel, because
yes.
I know, Rachel, you started getting involved in improv at Brazos Theatre. And now you have written a play which is going to be premiered with Brazos Theatre. That's amazing. I love that we have the world premiere of your piece. Tell us a little bit about it and how you came to write.
So it started because I got involved back in theatre after not having done anything in the theatre for, you know, more than 20 years. I mean, I hadn't been on a stage. Beth opened, she was like, come on out, audition for a show. I got involved. And I was in the melodrama last summer with a cast that happened there. And my youngest daughter, it was her first play as well. So she came and did it with me. It was such Love a fun that. Experience. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, like, well, what are we going to do for this summer's melodrama, you know, several months back. And Beth was like, well, I haven't found anything I like yet, but I'm looking. I'll find something. And I said, I have an idea. And I don't know where I get these things. Like, sometimes I just say stuff before my brain really, like, follows all the way through. And I said, I think I could write a play because I have an idea for it. And Beth said, do it. Like, go for it. I don't know what you're going to come up with, but I trust that you're going to have something. And so she believed in me to do it, and I did. And boy, is it something. It is a wild ride. It has been a wild ride. But the play is inspired by a song. I'm a big fan of Ray Stevens, who is a comedic genius who writes these funny songs. And he wrote a melodrama in a song called Along Came Jones.
Along came lonely Lanky Jones.
And this was back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so I took the plot of his crazy song and I reversed all the gender roles. And I made a story behind it. Sweet Sue in the song is now Sweet Stew. And Sweet Stew gets thrown on the railroad tracks and, you know, threatened with a buzzsaw and all the things that happen in the song. It happens on the stage. And that's where the idea was born.
Well, that sounds like a recipe for hilarity and probably a lot of stage management, too. What can audiences expect when they come along to the show?
Chaos. It truly is. Yeah. And Beth, one of the things that I love about working with Beth is she has been so supportive of just like, run with it. Go with it. Like, just make it happen. And so it's a lot of physical comedy. I told the cast when they auditioned, I was like, guys, think like Carol Burnett show, think I Love Lucy, think these like crazy situations and you're going to be throwing your body around. And they have just said, let's do it. And I mean, they were drenched in sweat last night by the time it was over.
It's a workout. Right?
It is a workout. But they are so committed. And that's what's going to make the show like really shine, because they are so talented.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Well, for both of you, what makes live theater so powerful, messy, and magical?
Oh my gosh, it is the thrill. It's the thrill of walking on stage, not knowing how the audience is going to react, not knowing if you're going to remember what you have to say. And if you don't remember what you have to say, you have to come up with something that makes sense. And that's one of the things I always try to tell the people in my shows. You know the story, you know the chronological order of things. Just If you absolutely fail, if you can't remember, just say something that belongs, say something that will get us to the next step. And your cast members are there for you, and they're going to do the same thing. So it's all, every show, no matter if there's a big star and a bunch of chorus members, every show, it's ensemble work.
Yes. And that the relationships that you develop through that,
yes,
are really transformational also.
And getting a chance to see other people like come up with things and like see what's coming out of their minds and their brains when they're put into situations. It's so exciting to like get to work alongside other people who are just interested in exploring ideas and being willing to just like put themselves out there. That's really encouraging. And it's such always like a good experience to be around other people who are encouraging in that way.
I love that. Well, and plus you add food and beverages to the experience, which
always
is always a win. And I can honestly say every time I have been to one of your performances, I have found myself, there's laugh out loud funny moments. I always find, you know, I have the kind of that the fatigue of the muscle that makes you laugh in your belly after one of your performances, which is, I think, a good commendation. But what's next? What is next on the horizon for Brazos Theatre?
What's next is kind of going to be the biggest challenge in the history of the Brazos Theatre, I think. Unfortunately, we are losing our space that we've been in for almost a decade. A school has bought the entire shopping center where we're located, and all of the small businesses that are there, pretty much all of them, are being kind of booted out And so that is our next big challenge.
So you are looking for a space.
We're looking for a space. However, you know, we are a small theater company. We don't put on huge splashy shows, so we don't, get the big grants and the things like that because we're just a small independent theater company, which has been working great. But the space we have now came when an entity found out that we were having to leave the space that we were in downtown. And they almost pretty much offered it as a gift. So the first 6 months they were there, it was a gift. We were there rent free.
That's amazing.
And then the next 6 months was just a little bit. And it's built up a little bit since then. But we pay a very small amount of rent for a nice size space. And if that could happen once in this greater Waco area, it can happen again. I do believe lightning can strike twice. And so we're on the lookout. We're getting the word out and hoping for that strike of lightning one more time.
Well, you know, I'm hoping very much that maybe someone listening to this show have some ideas or connections. Waco's a small enough town that hopefully those connections will work. Well, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Fiona. So fun.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Conversations with Creative Waco. A heartfelt thanks to Jill Barrett and Rolando Diaz for showing us how art and storytelling comes to life at Falcon and Owl, and to Beth Richards and Rachel Velasco for giving us a peek behind the curtain at Brazos Theatre and the creative spark that drives new work. If you're ready to experience some of this month's creative energy in person, visit Falcon and Owl in downtown Waco to explore Rolando Diaz's extraordinary new exhibition, open now through September 18th. You can also contact Falcon and Owl to arrange visits by appointment. Get your tickets for Brazos Theatre's brand new comedy melodrama written by Rachel Velasco and running August 7th to 10th. And don't miss their full season of Laugh Out Loud, improv, drag nights, and more. And remember, KWBU isn't just your source for great radio, it's also a hub for arts and culture in Central Texas. If you missed part of today's show, you can listen again at kwbu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Creative Waco and all our guests on social media, and for a full calendar of events, we recommend that you subscribe to Waco Insider and Waco Buzz, both of which deliver the latest arts happenings right to your inbox. I'm Fiona Bond, and this was Conversations with Creative Waco. Our next episode airs on August 22nd. Until then, thanks for listening and keep supporting the arts in Waco.